the ship is turning out to the lost.
Amen.
And we are seeing people come in and get saved. The word says go into all the world, doesn't it? And we're going to touch those that don't have Christ and those that are less fortunate than us. There's a story of a young man that was an apprentice. He wanted to learn how to do stained glass, and he apprenticed himself to one of the great stained glass persons of their time. And he gets up close to him, and he borrowed his master's tools. And weeks went by, months went by, and he used his master's tool, but to no avail. I mean, he got a little bit better because he was practicing, but he didn't get a whole lot better. And he said to the master that was teaching him, he said, I'm using your tools, but I'm not doing any better than I was before. And the teacher replied, and I quote, so, it's not the tools of the master you need, but the spirit and heart of the master. As we disciple people, we need all the tools we can possibly get to win the lost and disciple. Would you agree with that? And we believe in empowering and equipping for service and equipping and empowering for leadership. And we're in a season of expanding every ministry so that folks can be involved and use their spiritual gifts and abilities and anointing to expand the kingdom. So we believe in equipping the saints. It's one of the things the church is called to do. But without the spirit of the master,
Amen. It
will be to no avail. In case you don't understand that, we need the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful that we have more resources, books, teachers, great teachers, great preachers. We need them all. There's things that you can stream, on your phone. You want to have an emotion or listen to someone preach going down the road? Do it. Thank God. Use the resources God has given us. And here, thank God He's resourcing the ministry. But we need the resource of the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we need more of. More power. More Holy Spirit. More of the Master's Spirit. More of the Master's ability. More of the Master's power. That's what, because we can use all the tools God's given us. But we need the Spirit. Can I get a big amen? You see, the Holy Spirit is constantly at work. And for some of you, just to be, there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's a Trinity, the three in one. Some of you, I'll give you an opportunity today to ask Christ into your heart and be Lord and Savior. I'm going to tell you what we're going to do today before water baptism. Some of you need a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we all need it. Let me say that. We all need a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some of you need to have that experience for the first time. I tell you what, boy, they hit me in. I can't get out. They got me on the clock. I can't go backwards. What am I going to do? Look out, David. We believe in immersion by water, not sprinkling. Some of you will get that later. We're going to have the power of the Holy Spirit in order to see lives transformed. Marriages healed. People saved. Bodies healed. We need the power. We need the tools. But we need the power. Our theme for the entire year is to believe for greater things.
Yeah.
And Jesus said that we can do even greater things than He did. Boy, that's good. You know how? He said, I'm going to the Father, and I'm going to be sitting up there at the right hand of the Father. John 14, I'm paraphrasing. He said, but I'm going to send the Comforter, the Spirit, to you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What do you think about when you hear the word Jesus? A lot of things come to my mind. But let me ask you another question. Do you believe we can reach our city for Jesus? Hallelujah. Well, when I think about Jesus, I think if we could, the list could go on. But But we believe in His holiness, His grace, His mercy, His patience, His kindness, His goodness, His presence, what He did in us, His glory. I mean, the list goes on and on. I'm getting used to this crowd because I like to look at everybody sometime. But I've got to turn more to look at... One of our core values is a joyful experience. It's okay to laugh in church, and if you're a guest, yes, I am a little crazy. Amen. Don't laugh too hard. I'll call you out, son. Have you ever thought about having the heart of Christ? I had somebody tell me 30 years ago, he said, Dale, actually it was about 25, right before I took the church. He said, when you take church Sunday, pray to have the Lord's heart for your city. He said, if you'll ask God to give you the heart for your city, the Lord will reach that city. And Jesus Christ has a heart and a passion for the lost. He came to earth for the lost. So, number one, I start with a question I've already asked you. I said, do you believe? Can we reach our city for Christ? Acts 1 and 8 says this. It'll take a little bit to unpack it. Isn't it amazing? I mean, this team, and I know Pastor Morris, we've got all the tools we usually have because Pastor Morris and Pastor Tim and the worship team work so hard. This is our verse. You receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Those are the words of Christ right before He left the earth. It's so good to have Pastor Steve and Pastor Jill in here with us. She's in a cast or a something, a brace. Keep her in prayer, but they're just knocking out the ballpark with our kids and our children. Pastor Jill and Gina. Financial Peace University, and that's going really, really well. But anyway, you'll see power. When that's for us today. It's for the church today. It's Jesus said, when you receive that power, if I can put it in today's words, you will be witnesses. Say witnesses. Listen, the primary reason God baptizes with the Spirit is to be a witness. I didn't get a very big amen on that. So that we can reach, if I could word, our city, our state, our country, and the world. And that's what we did at our missions convention a few weeks ago. We invested $36,000, $38,000 and more's come in to reach our city, our state, our nation, and a bunch of foreign missionaries. That is what Jesus Christ sent His Spirit for us to do. Hallelujah! God will give you power. What was the qualifications of the early church? Because in some way they were a disqualified bunch. Right? I mean, I do believe one of the prerequisites for ministry is to be a fisherman. And some of them were. But they were a lot of old country boys. Some were tax collectors. And the last instructions Jesus gives them is wait in Jerusalem because you're going to need the power to expand the church. That was the one condition. And there are other qualifications for leaders that Paul wrote about later, certainly. But the one condition, the one tool the early church needed was this. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And that will be the most important power you have to be witnesses. Look, I know we need to disciple. Just hear me. I'm going to preach one thought today. We teach very balanced here. But if we're not going to have the power to witness, then why are we here? Now really go home and think about that this week. If you've got Jesus, you're saved. Can you be any more saved than you are if you've got Christ? No, you can grow and mature and all those things. But if you're saved, then why are you here? I'll tell you why. The one reason that we can pick one, to get everybody on the ship to heaven as possible. Otherwise, look, y'all know this. I got shot a few weeks ago. The bullet's still in my leg. I go to the surgeon tomorrow. I'm in a dilemma, young man. I don't want to leave that bullet in there. But I don't want to have surgery either. Pray for me. Well, I come to church saying, no, I'm leaving it. I talked to Tom. He said, well, there is something in there that's not supposed to be in there. I'm like, now I'm ready to have surgery, Tom. The most important power is the power of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses. If we're not really going to be a witness at some level, then let's just go be home in heaven. We're already saved. We're born again. Let's go be with Jesus for eternity. When I got shot, I was riding in the back of the truck. The bleeding was stopped. I said, Lord, I know I'm ready to go to heaven, but I don't want to go today. But I would every day. I'd take a breath that I would put in me, however long that is. God can take one more to heaven, Eric. It's just to be a part. Maybe I get the water. Maybe I get the cloud. Maybe I get the snow. But just to see one more in heaven.
Hallelujah.
And God said, listen, God said, you give us the power to do it. And let me say, how much power we receive depends on how much power we need. How much power we receive depends on how much we're going to use the power. And I wonder if the church doesn't become powerless because it quits being a witness. You said, I'm afraid to be a witness. But I tell you something. Because the Lord's not afraid. The Holy Spirit's not afraid.
Hallelujah.
Well, I won't go there. I saw y'all get mad at me. When was the last time you prayed for your city? When was the last time, don't raise your hands, that you prayed for a lost loved one? I know I get a few hands, but what about all the other people in our city? And we need to pray. When was the last time? Jesus did say Jerusalem. That's our city. Scottsdale, Gilbert, Mesa, Phoenix, Chandler, and it goes on and on and on. It's our city. The Lord's going to take care of us. He will always take care of us. The church is stuck on Acts chapter 6. What's Acts chapter 6? Well, a little bit about Stephen later. Been a long time since I walked. Acts chapter 6, the work inside the church became too overwhelming for just the apostles to take care of. They were feeding widows. And so they elected deacons, appointed deacons, chose deacons from among them. We'll be selecting two new advisory council members this Tuesday. And we need to take care of our own. Somebody say amen. But we get stuck there. And the lost are dying. And they're going to hell without a Savior. We need to begin to pray and seek the Lord for greater things. We need to begin to pray and believe God for greater things and greater power. And I believe if we'll pray and go, if we'll pray and go, and you've been trained, some of you, we've been doing this for a year and a half to steer the ship a little further out You've been jealous for a year and a half. Just share. Just touch. Just do random acts of kindness. Share your testimony. Pray with others. There's been a purpose in all of this, and it's expanding. And God has anointed us to share the love of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world. We need to pray to go, and we need to begin to seek God. We've got our prayer board up, and now we just got to get it ready where we can start praying for the lost. That prayer board is, we'll pray for everybody. We need to pray for each other. But that prayer board is to pray for the lost in our world and in our city. And all year we're going to be able to walk up and I'm praying for that lost one and that lost one and that lost one and that family member and that one at work and that one in school. We've got to pray and we've got to be available when we go. I've got family members that don't live here and I'm praying, dear God, send a witness to them. I can't give to them. I can't call them enough. Send a witness to them. And there's people praying for us to be those witnesses. Let's don't get stuck in Acts 6. Hallelujah! Let's don't get stuck there. Let's love like Jesus loved. Let's pray like Jesus prayed. Let's catch the heart of God for the lost. And we will if you'll open your heart and your life to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you when it starts. Your confession of needed power. I'm going to have an altar call in a minute. I'm going to be in, and some of you will glue your feet to the ground and pretend like you don't need it. You haven't won anybody to the Lord in 15 years. I want to love like Jesus and pray like Jesus. The Son of God died so that we could be here this morning. He died. We were all sinners. Say amen.
Amen.
We were all headed to hell without salvation. And a lot of us, including me, wanted nothing to do with Jesus. I really did. I was having fun. I was close to six figures in the early 80s building my own empire without Christ. Going deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. And getting more and more and more in the world. And more worldly. And more bound. And more wounded.
Amen.
Oh, I had to talk about the tail on the outside, and I was deteriorating and dying and dying on the inside. You see, sin will rot your soul away. Sin will get a hold of you, and it will not let go. One day you'll be in control, the next day sin will be in control. But the good news is, Jesus died for our sins. Hallelujah. Jesus knew that the wages of sin was death, but God the Father sent His Son Jesus Christ to give and make opportunity for the gift of salvation to anyone who believes. Aren't you thankful for Jesus? And now I feel like I'm in camping. I usually stay tight on my pastoral preaching. When I speak at men's conferences and camping, I'm everywhere. Let's have camping!
Hallelujah.
We need the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
This church needs the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
This pastor needs more power.
Yes.
Jesus died for you. If you repent of your sins and invite Him into your heart, He'll forgive you of your sins. He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He'll save you for eternity. And then you can begin to take as many to home as you can. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But we need the power. I'm going to tell you something. I'm afraid to witness. I'm afraid. Without Him. I'll tell you something. You want to get a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit? I'm still on point one. I told you we were in trouble. We are going to come up to this church, this front, and we're going to pray for our city together, and I'm going to pray for a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. First time or refreshing. We're going to do that. Can I tell you something about being a witness? When you start loving somebody or sharing your testimony with somebody or sharing the love of the Lord with somebody, and then if it opens the door to share a scripture with somebody. I was with two lost guys all week. I shared the scripture with them. They didn't know a scripture half the time, but the Holy Spirit did. But when you start sharing, I'll tell you what happens. You get a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. You go in, you know, you're a little scared. I don't know if I can share with them. And you start sharing, and all of a sudden there's an anointing that comes on you. There's a courage that comes on you. There's a boldness that comes on you. There's a love that comes on you. There's a love that manifests in you. If you'll just try it, we pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit at these altars. If you need a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit, just start sharing Jesus with somebody, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit will baptize you fresh. Try it, Edison! Yeah. Deanna, she tried to give me an extra cup of coffee this morning. If you'd have done that, I am so red. I need to throttle back. If I had that other cup of coffee, it's over. Easy, man. Easy. Well, how much power are you willing to pray for? The power is not, listen. The power is not to get people to come to church.
Right.
We want people to come. If you want to just make an invitation. And when they come, we want to love them and honor them and respect them and make them feel at home. Yeah. Just like Jesus would. But the Great Commission, as well as Jesus' words, wasn't to come, it was to go. Say, you would receive power so that they could come to Jerusalem. Didn't say that you would receive power so they could come to church. Said we would receive power so that we could go to Jerusalem. Say go. What does the Bible say about reaching the city? Well, Acts 1 and 8. I don't know if you ever thought about it this context. Acts 1 and 8 was Mission Impossible. I almost pulled up a video. Don't. I like the old ones. Or the little tape went up in smoke, you know. I like the new ones. But you talk about Mission Impossible. Jerusalem at that time had to be as difficult to reach in that day, in that moment. To do the historical study, I don't have time to unpack it. But it would have been next to impossible to reach that city with the gospel. And so Jerusalem would represent, think of a city in America that just seems next to impossible to reach. And then, somebody would say San Francisco. I mean, good night, don't get me started. Then magnify Jerusalem a few times. Well, what do you mean? They were highly indoctrinated in a religion that didn't save for generation after generation after generation. On top of that, it was also highly secular, and by the way, it still is today. I mean, people have been coming from all over the world to Jerusalem for millennia. I mean, since they got there, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And I mean, who wanted to go there unless it was for the festivals or certain times of the year? And that was the religious religion of the day, which again wouldn't get you to heaven. I mean, this city, and let me expand there a little bit. Most people had heard about Jesus that was anywhere in the area. Not all, but most. They knew there had been a crucifixion. The populace as a whole, now just get me, because it was public. The trial was public. If the word had gotten out, there was an innocent man who he claimed to be, and the crook got set free, and everybody knew. most people would know there were only a few places in the city where the Romans punished people by crucifying them. So Jesus has been crucified, and now there's some lunatics, and they're just country people anyway, and crooked tax collectors. They're crazy. They say that he's not in the same tomb he was in, that he's gone, he's risen. Give me a break. Look at your neighbor and say, isn't that crazy? And so let's say, hey, there's an open church in Jerusalem. I'm telling you, the pastors would be knocking down the door to go there. Not really, I'm being sarcastic. Look, you can go to Jerusalem. There's not going to be any pay. They speak multiple languages because they're multiple culture. They're never going to believe this salvation by grace thing and that Jesus is the Messiah. They've been writing about it, talking about it, teaching about it for them, but they're not going to believe he's the one and that's the message you're giving. And by the way, Jesus was crucified and Jesus has been killed. Who wants to sign up? I'm glad Jesus signed up. And yet the disciples accomplished their mission. Acts 5:28. They were given strict orders not to teach in his name. He said, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. They ordered a couple of the disciples. Now, you guys have gotten crazy around here, and a few people are starting to believe you. Now, we're going to take them after this. Don't go out there and teach this Jesus thing anymore, because the Romans done taking care of Jesus, and we're going to take care of you. And you find out later, those two fellas could not stop talking about the grace of Jesus Christ. They went out and did just exactly what was the cause of their life. Why? They were filled with the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
And the mission expanded. In Acts 19:10, and it goes like this. This went on for 2 years. So that all... Now, this is going on for 2 years. They cannot keep people quiet about Jesus. What's keeping Amen. You quiet?
Amen.
They couldn't stop talking. You know what it would be like? This is a poor example. It would like be like me having that extra cup of coffee. I'm going to talk. I'm going to be louder. I'm going to jump harder. I'm going to walk more. All that caffeine's in me, Deanna, and it's all your fault. It's the nectar of Jesus. And the rest of us said amen. Y'all wouldn't get out of here. Boy, you're being funny, you're being silly, Pat. Look, when you're full of the Holy Spirit, you cannot contain what he's doing in your life. You cannot contain what he's doing in your mind. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you cannot contain. Well, shut up. Can't do it. Jesus saves. Jesus heals. Jesus loves you. Jesus grace is sufficient. His power ain't working in my shut up. And shut up. He's been good to me. He's stayed with me. He's been kind to me. Shut up. That's what we need the power for. Some of y'all just talking. Start talking with the power. Said it went on for 2 years. I'll tell you what, Eric, because he loves evangelism. They were slapping hornets and stirring up stuffings everywhere they went. Be quiet, put you in jail, beat you. Family members leaving. Family members denying you. Because you took on another religion. You could no longer be even a part of the family. They were a persecuted church. Some of them began to die. Stephen died. And when he's died, because he was full of the Holy Spirit, go read it. He said, and I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. He was giving glory and testifying about Jesus, even as they stoned him to death. And Paul was watching. This went on for 2 years. Then it reads, pick back up, Stephen, because I want folks to see it. Read with me. This went on for 2 years, so that all, so that
all,
so that
all.
Do this with me. Thank you. Hear me. You are in the game. The church is fun, isn't it? I feel the Holy Spirit. So that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Do you believe God can reach a city? Do you believe He can do it? What does the Bible say about reaching the city? It didn't say, listen, it didn't say they were all converted. It says they all heard. That's our job. Just to make sure everybody hears. Because the rest of it's up to Him. So a city can be reached. And we're going to start here a few weeks before Easter. We're going to start level. I'm taking y'all through. It's a tool. We're going to do door locker campaign. And I can go on about a number of the other outreaches. But what I've been training you to do now for a year and 3 months is just do it everywhere you go. And what I'm telling you this morning, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to be effective, to be a witness. See, all heard the word of the Lord. And by the way, the Holy Spirit doesn't exaggerate. It means the whole city heard. One way or another, they heard. At that time, depending on your study and the historian, I mean, sometimes there would be a couple million people in Jerusalem, but it had a stated population in those days of 350,000 people. They all heard. They heard the message that Jesus saves. We read in Romans 15 and 18, and Paul later would lead by example. He said, I will not venture to speak anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I've said and done. You've got to talk and do. I don't want to get bogged down there. It's not enough just to do. You've got to talk. Well, I'm just laying it out. Please do. But speak up. Faith come by hearing, and hearing come by the word of God. You've got to say it. And watch this. To obey God by what I've said and done. By the power of signs and wonders through the power of the Spirit of God. So from Jerusalem all the way to Elia. We have an Elia and an Elia here. This is Elia Wikiokion. That's not it. I fully proclaim the gospel of Christ. How did Paul? Why was Paul? How was Paul so effective? Power of the Spirit. As he proclaimed the gospel of Christ. And we still believe, and I do believe, this power still saves and transforms lives.
Yeah.
And God is willing to give us that power. How much power do you need this morning to be a witness? I'm going to dismiss the water baptism people. Now, Paul, who's accommodating that over here, and I don't know if that guy will change or not, and I'm not food preaching, don't get your hopes up. It'd be good. There's an old problem. Aren't you glad Jesus loves old drunks? But he was part of a city mission, and after several years, I mean, he was the worst alcoholic in the world. And finally, Jesus got hold of him. He asked Christ into his heart and got saved. And you know, when Jesus touches you, he does transform you. And a drunk becomes a saint. If you have Christ in your heart, you're a saint. By grace. They said, well, I thought you had to work 10 miracles. That's a man's doctrine. Because all God's people, when they're full of the Spirit, can work miracles. And once you're saved, you're a sinner saved by grace, you become a saint. That's just a little bit of side teaching for free. Hey, he got saved. He started serving. He would reach out to the guys. He'd clean up the restrooms. He'd clean their dorms. He cleaned up their mess. He was always working, always busy, always helping from filthy men that didn't know Christ, always putting others before himself. One evening, the mission director's preaching, and during that time, and this old drunk, who's not an old drunk anymore, in that service, and another guy, this guy's name was Bill, another guy goes to the altar, and he's crying out to the Lord. They're praying for his salvation. And the old fellow at the altar began to cry out, "Make me like Bill. Make me like Bill. Make me like Bill." He went on and on and on. "Make me like Bill." The pastor went up to him and said, "Sir, don't you mean make me like Jesus?" He goes, "Is he like Bill?" You know, that's kind of funny. That's kind of heart-touching, both, isn't it? When I did the research on that, I thought, that's a funny. I tell you, when I was in prayer early this morning, I saw it, and I went, it touched my heart. People are watching what we do and listening to what we say and how we say it and how we do it. We need to be filled with the Spirit. Well, I was still 30 years. I was filled. We need a constant baptism of the Holy Spirit. And let me say this. And there's so many great congregations across our city and state. And I'm slow to criticize. There's plenty of church congregations that's got a lot of problems and they're off doctrine. And I get all that. But there's plenty of God-fearing people that really love the Lord with all their heart, soul, strength, and mind, trying with all they've got to fulfill the Great Commission. But if there was ever a time, even in our own movement, and our movement believes in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the assemblies of God believe that. But any movement, any church, there's not hardly a church you could walk into anywhere, anytime, and not say, those people need a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm here to tell you this morning, us people, I know that's not proper English. Well, I don't even know English well enough to know if it's improper. This church needs a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit and an ongoing baptism of the Holy Spirit in our daily life. Are you like Jesus? Have you caught his heart for the lost? Do you have his passion and love to see those less fortunate find Christ? Can a city be reached for Jesus? I believe absolutely. The early church believed what Jesus said. He told them, like he's told us, you can do greater works than even I did. And in order to do it, we need to receive power from the Holy Spirit. And God promised the Holy Spirit would come on us. So we ask in his name, and we pray in his name. And we go, and I know this is an inside the building thing. I'm the same way in the building. And I share Christ, since we started a structural plan, I share Christ every chance I get. It's helped me. I got home from Mexico at about 8 at night, 12-hour drive, warm. But I reported in. And I was thankful most of y'all beat me that day. I don't have the ability to share the gospel. I can preach a sermon. Every time I witness, I went in my room early, got up early to pray for the lost men that were staying in the other room because I knew I'd have breakfast with them every day at dinner every night. And God gave opportunity to share. I'm not boasting. Because, get ready, this is about, I didn't feel like I could do it. Ooh, it'd just be easier just to be quiet and eat and joke with the guys. No, you don't, you're not hearing what I'm saying. I did not feel like I could do it. I don't ever feel like I can be a witness. Anymore, y'all may think this is silly. I speak to this crowd, I'm speaking to other crowds, big crowds and little crowds. Sunday morning, this is in the house, I feel more helpless than any other time of the week. I do not feel I can come up here and exhort you and preach to you. I do not feel like I can do it. For 30 years. That's the point. We can't be witnesses in our own strength. We need the grace of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I say, Lord, I don't know if I can share with them. Empower me. Open a door. Crack it that wide. And I'll share what I can. And I'll do it. Sometimes realize I can't do it. And the next thing you know, he does it. I stood at this front of the church this morning going, the worship's good. Dear Lord, I don't have anything to bring this morning. I don't feel I can do it. And then when I begin to walk, I feel the presence of the God and the ability of God and the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it on our own, even if we have the tools. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I just said we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Even I can remember my own message this morning. So in about 2 weeks, I forget a lot of what I've been preached. We need the power. You should have seen the crowd. Right now, about half the crowd went, whew. I feel the same way. Stand with me. Does anybody got a clean handkerchief? I emphasize clean. I'll let my phone. We're about to tinker with these ACs. I think it's a little warmer. I'm sorry if I yell too much today. It's not yelling, it's just excitement, passion. Well, let's let the whole building be an altar. There's not enough room, but there's enough room in here to receive the fresh baptism. Tim, if I could just have you on the keys only. Just, we're going to do the keys.